You're listening to Sean of the South. I'm your host, Sean Dietrich, coming to you live this week from Luverne, Alabama, the United Methodist Church, a taste of Christmas, benefiting the Friends of the Public Library here in Crenshaw County. The music you hear behind me is the Mobile Singing Children's Choir, led by Susan Hoyt. Christmas in the South, and everyone is here. The folks from way up north are visiting family dear. The weather isn't warm, like the people on TV say. In fact, it's cold as hell. Last night it got down to 68. The churches are decked in pinery and boughs, and the children are wearing their only two pairs of winter clothes. The pound cakes and the fruit cakes, the coconut cakes and sweet bread, and the family visiting town that makes us all wish we were dead. Lights on a tree and candles that smell like cinnamon muffins, and the obnoxious folks from New Jersey who can't tell the difference between dressing or stuffing. Thank you, Lord, for our lives. Keep each family safe from cold. And if it's not too much trouble, God, let Alabama win the Sugar Bowl. Tip your waitresses and give your teacher a fruit basket. Do something nice for others without someone having to ask it. Be a nice guy and tender. Be thoughtful above all. And remember, pay no attention to your doctor, who says, watch your cholesterol. The Mobile Children's Singing Choir, everybody. There is not, in my opinion, on planet Earth, a happier place than a Christmas covered dish church social. A potluck that takes place in fellowship halls and in gymnasiums attached to churches. Every denomination has their own twist on this tradition. which I believe dates back to our forefathers. The Methodists, for instance, don't like to call it potlucks. In fact, Methodists don't believe in luck whatsoever, so they prefer to call them pot providence. Methodists also prefer deviled eggs. I saw several deviled eggs on that table back there tonight. My cousin, she will cook 468 deviled eggs whenever anyone calls her to alert her that someone in the community has died. She will cook 468 deviled eggs for a woman she has never met in her entire life, and she will wear all black to deliver them to the fellowship hall. But there is nothing better than a Southern Baptist, if you ask me, because at a Southern Baptist covered dish social, you will see fried chicken, because fried chicken is one of the sacraments of the Southern Baptist tradition. And if you grew up in a tradition like I did, where blue blazers and tall hair go together, and you cannot trust a deacon with a waistline which is smaller than 36 inches, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, I believe fried chicken is within the DNA of our ancestry. I believe it was the very first Southern Baptist forefathers who, when they walked off the Mayflower, were carrying red and white striped buckets filled with original recipe fried chicken. And even though I cannot prove it, I do believe that Colonel Sanders himself was a deacon. Miss Jessie was my mother's friend, and she made the best fried chicken you have ever tasted. In fact, her fried chicken was so good that it was the only fried chicken allowed on the potluck line. It was an unspoken rule, but they let her fried chicken shine at every potluck event. Miss Jessie was a small woman. She would show up. She would place her fried chicken right in the center of the table. And we knew that she had cooked this in a black iron skillet. She was among the generation of women who knew how to fry things in black iron skillets, which were well seasoned. There's something about fried chicken made in a skillet. It browns one side of the chicken just a little bit more than the other, and the batter begins to fall off a little bit while in that shallow pan. Miss Jessie died in December, and it was her express instructions that at her funeral there would not be a funeral service at all. She wanted instead a covered dish social. She got the idea when her sister had passed. She trekked all the way up to Birmingham to attend her sister's funeral. And her sister had a covered dish social instead of a funeral. Only food and people laughing and remembering. And this is what Jessie wanted. But on the day of her funeral, if you can call it a funeral, there was no fried chicken on the line. There were card tables stacked side by side. There were green bean casseroles with French fried onions on top. Lemon chicken casserole. Cheese chicken casserole. Mushroom chicken casserole. Chicken casserole. Rice chicken casserole. A casserole with spaghetti noodles in it, which nobody really knew what it was, so nobody touched it. Leanne, Miss Jessie's daughter, had her husband smoke pork outside. He brought his barbecue grill, and he stood beside it, and he smoked pork butts for the entire Baptist congregation who attended. People began to attend. They were dressed in their sport coats and khakis. Women were wearing fine clothes with heels and pearls, and everybody showed up. Leanne's husband wore an apron, which read, "I like pig butts, and I cannot lie." And while he was smoking these pork butts, licking his lips, wishing he had a beer, but knowing he could not drink a beer because he was on Baptist property, he saw a man who was sitting on the bench outside the apple market across the street, and The man had a large white beard, and he was scrawny, and he was dressed in rags, and his shoes had holes in them. He had stood from the bench, and he was walking across the street toward the barbecue grill, because the smell of smoked pork has a way of drawing people from all corners of the city. The man's name was Toby, and Toby was from North Georgia. He'd hitched his way down to this area, and he'd been staying up around the truck stop in the woods, and he'd been using the truck stop showers to keep clean. He carried a duffel bag with him, which looked like it weighed 600 pounds, and there was military writing on the side of it. Toby was hitchhiking from North Georgia all the way down to South Alabama, where his daughter lived. He'd wanted to see her, to get in touch with her. He hadn't seen her in several decades. Toby was moved by hunger, and he asked Land's husband if there was something he could do to help. Land's husband took one look at him, and he understood that this man was starving. He said, "Absolutely, we could always use another hand, another grill hand." Land's husband went to his truck toolbox. He opened it, and he grabbed an apron which was bright red, with the words on front written in white holiday print, "Real men do not follow recipes or read instructions." He gave it to Toby, and Toby put it on. They stood outside, and Toby told a little bit of his story, not much. He talked about how homelessness had just crept up on him. Nobody ever plans to be without shelter or food or money. It just happens through a series of very, very bad decisions, one after another. After Toby's wife had died long ago, he took to the bottle pretty hard. And that's how he lost touch with his daughter. When she was old enough to leave, by God, she did. When Leanne's husband was finished cooking one of the pork butts, he put the pork into a large tray, and he handed it to Toby and said, "Take this inside, and while you're in there, get you a plate of food." Toby, dressed in his red apron, lifted the platter. He walked inside the fellowship hall, where people were honoring the memory of Miss Jessie. And while he was walking inside, an elderly woman who was working the food tables and positioning casserole dishes was wearing a Santa Claus hat. She saw Toby holding the platter of pork, and she said, oh good, the pork's here." She took the platter from him, she set it on the table, and she removed a Santa Claus hat, which she was wearing. She placed it on his head. She said, "Here, you look more like Santa than I do." Toby was wandering back outside when a little girl stopped him. And she said, "Are you him?" And Toby stood straight, and he looked at her. And he smiled. It had been a long time since a child had looked him in the face and spoke. He said, "Maybe I am. Maybe I am." And the little girl began to tell him exactly what she wanted for Christmas. And he couldn't even hear her. He was too busy focusing on her red hair. She had bright copper red hair, just like the woman he married long ago, and just like his daughter had. He remembered visions of his daughter riding her bike with those training wheels on the back. She was afraid when he was teaching her how to pedal and keep her balance at the same time. She said, don't let go, Daddy." But he let go, and she rode in a straight line, and he had never been so proud. And when that girl finished telling him what she wanted for Christmas, he started to walk out the doors back to the grill, which was outside. And a small line of children followed after him. And when he got outside, a young boy tugged on his apron and said, "Are you him?" And they all took turns sitting on his bad knee. He listened to every single Christmas request. Request for a football, for a BB gun, for a cowboy hat, for a baseball glove, and for digital toys which he had never even heard of. At the end of Miss Jessie's funeral, Toby helped. He helped wash dishes in the kitchen sink. He helped scrub the grill with a wire brush. He was a good worker. Leanne came out of the fellowship hall, and she was crying. She was remembering her mother. She asked Toby, "Where will you be going?" He said, "Oh, I don't know. I go wherever I can." She said, "Well, I know this is short notice, but it's getting dark. Would you want to stay at our house?" He said, "Oh, I really couldn't. I wouldn't want to imposition you." She wore him down, because after all, she was the daughter of a persistent Miss Jessie. It's in her blood. She took him home. They gave him the guest bedroom. He took a shower. He cleaned himself. And when he emerged from the bathroom, his skin was 10 shades lighter than it had been when they first saw him. And his beard looked even more crisp and white. The next morning at breakfast, Leanne got a phone call. And it was from Bob Andrews, who owns the apple market. Bob Andrews asked if the man who looked like Santa Claus was staying with her, because that's what he'd heard. And she said, "Yes." He said, "I want to see if that man would play Santa Claus out front of my store." She handed the phone to Toby, and Toby listened, and he nodded. He said, "Well, I don't see why not." They gave him a suit of red trimmed in white with a big black belt and a buckle that was the size of a serving platter. And he sat on a bench in front of the apple market, and children lined up, and he listened to every request with a smile. He patted their heads, and he told them to be good little boys and girls. At the end of the day, he was tired and his knees hurt. Leanne asked if he wanted to stay at their house again. He said, "I really couldn't." She said, "Oh, please, we're family now." The next morning, Leanne received a phone call from John Childers, who owns the Piggly Wiggly. She answered the phone, and he said, "Is that man who looks like Santa Claus still staying with you?" And she said, "Yes. Yes, he is." He said, "I'd like him to come sit in front of my store and do exactly what he did at the apple market, because I'll be damned if Bob Andrews and his second-rate grocery store are going to get the upper hand on me." Bob Andrews and John Childers were vicious adversaries, owning the only two supermarkets in town. So Leanne took him, and they went to the Piggly Wiggly. He sat out front, dressed like Santa Claus once again, and children lined up. Children from the other side of town lined up. And he heard all sorts of stories. He heard about Jason Jacobs' older brother who died on Highway 10. He got to hear about Arnold Packard's father, who had just been locked up in prison. At the end of the day, he was tired, and Leanne fixed him another wonderful supper. And while they sat at the dinner table eating, they were getting to know Mr. Toby, and Toby talked about his daughter. Leanne asked where his daughter lived, and Toby told her, and he told her his daughter's name. And Leanne made a mental note of this. And while they were eating, another phone call came through. It was Jim Donaldson, who owned the insurance company. And he said, "Is that man who looks like Santa Claus still staying with you?" And she said, "Why, yes, he is. He's sitting right here at the dinner table." Jim Donaldson had asked Toby to sit in his Chrysler Sebring red convertible for the Christmas parade. It was a painfully small parade in our town. It drove around the square 3 times just to kill time, or else the parade would have only lasted about 3.5 minutes. And so Toby rode in the Christmas parade, seated on the back of that Chrysler Sebring, waving at the onlookers who stood lining the streets. The marching band led the parade. They were beating bass drums. The marching band is only 12 members strong, and there are 11 bass drums and 1 trombonist. And when the parade was over, they stopped at the fellowship hall of the Baptist church. There was a covered dish social with all the fixings, all of the casseroles and scalloped potatoes and potato salad and collards and creamed corn. And Leanne had made fried chicken for the very first time. While the parade was in session, she was at home using her mother's black iron skillet. She had no recipes, for her mother did not use recipes. She cooked by feel, and Leanne used something inside her, which was like a sixth sense to guide her. She picked up handfuls of flour and seasoned it the best way she could think to do, and it was as if something was guiding her the entire way through. She set that fried chicken right in the middle of the table where her mother used to place the centerpiece of every potluck, Southern Baptist style. People made their way through the line while their children were outside waiting in another line to speak to Toby. The line of children that Toby could see stretched on and on, and while he listened to children's requests, there was a car that wheeled into the parking lot. And out from the car stepped a tall, lean, red-headed girl. She had a purse slung around her shoulder, and she walked with a familiar gait. Toby saw her. She stood in the back of that children's line, and she waited. And with each child who made their requests known to Toby, she smiled a little bit bigger. And when she finally made it to Toby, she sat right down on his knee. And he grinned at her and she said, "Hey, Daddy." There were tears on Santa Claus's cheek that day. He said, "Hey, baby. My God, you look like your mama." He hugged her. And I don't know if there's enough salt water in the world to replace what them two lost that day. That day, people remarked that the fried chicken tasted almost exactly like Miss Jessie's. They said they had never tasted anything so good in all their lives. Yes, sir, I've been to a lot of covered dish socials in my life, but that was some of the best fried chicken I've ever had. Thanks for listening to Sean of the South. I've been your host, Sean Dietrich, and it has been a pleasure. For more information about anything that the Mobile Singing Children's Choir does, you can visit mobilesingingchildren.org. And don't forget about their Christmas concert this year. For anything more about what I do, you can visit seanofthesouth.com. And while you're there, I hope you drop me a line, because I love to hear from my friends. And speaking of friends, friends, I love you. And remember, the best way to get a puppy this year for Christmas is to start telling your wife you want to have another baby. Adios.